everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and joining me today is Gavin Preston. He is an inspirational speaker, a business strategist, an author, a business growth mentor, and host of the Business Mastermind podcast. He works with business owners and entrepreneurs to double their business in a year. His new book, Survive and Thrive, How to Secure, Scale, and Succeed in Business, is a collection of practical tools and techniques that he has been successfully implementing with businesses over the last decade. Gavin, welcome to the show.
Rob, thank you so much for having me. So excited to be here.
Fantastic. So let's kind of get started right in this. You're working with businesses to double their business.
Yeah, so I typically work with high growth SMEs, usually in the realm of between 1 million and 5 or 6 million turnover. And these are businesses that have either normally hit a plateau. So they've had great growth, that slowed off, and they're frustrated that they're not able to sort of re-access that period of accelerated growth again. And that's where I come in. I help them to scale the business. And in many cases, I help them with the time horizon of 3 to 5 years so that they can prepare their business for an exit if they want, or develop the team within that business so that they can step back and do other things.
Okay, so you're kind of working to build a toolbox of how to double your business. From what I'm understanding, your book is kind of a collection of tools. So
yeah, sure. Yeah, the book's called Survive and Thrive, as you explained in the introduction. And the two very distinct parts. Some businesses, you know, there's a phrase that we know that, you know, to finish first you have to finish. And to thrive, particularly in the current environment, economic environment, first you have to survive. So I recognize that not every business is in the space where they can even believe it's possible to double a business in a year. Some are actually just hanging on and trying to keep their business afloat. So part one really sort of dives into, as you say, a collection of tools around cash, around revenue, around saving costs, around profitability in the short term to keep the business afloat. And then part two goes on, pulls out from my 6-stage growth model, business growth model called the Strategy Compass. And that's, you get these 6 things right and you can set your business up to thrive.
I love it. Listen, I'm a motivational speaker as well. And I have a presentation that I just recently developed in response to COVID that's called More Than Mere Survival, right? And you're right. Yeah. Part of it is surviving and just getting through this. But the other part of it is, how do we make sure that as we come out of this, we're doing better than we were when we started? So a concept I love. So what's your background, man? What brings you into this, and kind of where did you develop these tools that you're sharing with others?
Yeah, so there's two kind of parallel strands to my background and my early career. One was training and qualifying as a chartered accountant with KPMG, you know, big international top 4 firm, which was a phenomenally good professional education. But actually, I'd been handed a book at the age of 15 by my father, and it was W. Clement Stone's book, The Success System That Never Fails. And W. Clement Stone was a great friend of Napoleon Hill, of course, Think and Grow Rich fame. And my dad handed me W. Clement Stone's book, opened at Napoleon Hill's famous quote, "What the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve." And I was studying for some school exams at the age of, well, I was studying at 15, but I would have sat the exams, or I did sit the exams at the age of 16. And I was a little anxious about how well I would do. And my dad said to me, "Say to yourself 50 times a day, what the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve, and think about getting 9 A's at these GCSE exams," as they're called in the UK. And I went, "Okay, Dad, sure." And I did that. And I said to myself 50 times a day, "What the mind can conceive and believe, the mind can achieve." And I got my 9 A's, and it blew my mind. And I was just then, you know, book number 2 was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And then I just voraciously read and listened to and consumed as much as I could. And then as I got into my university studies, I did a dissertation around the common traits of successful entrepreneurs, and came across on the shelf of a bookstore in Newcastle in the northeast of England, a book called none other than Tony Robbins's Awaken the Giant Within. And that opened the door to NLP with Unlimited Power, and then did a lot of training with Paul McKenna, Richard Bandler, the co-founder of NLP, and of course, and their UK business partner, Michael Breen. So I had this consulting finance accountancy background, but I also had this coaching, behavioral change, NLP master practitioner and trainer background as well. And then I got an opportunity to combine those skill sets. And initially that looked like executive coaching in large blue chip corporates, and then increasingly became an opportunity as I developed other skills around strategy and knowledge around marketing, and the list goes on, that to be able to help customers of one of my corporate clients was HSBC Bank, and to help customers of HSBC Bank to grow and scale their businesses.
Okay, so you've got the background and you're kind of developing a molded or a melded model that brings together your experience and your study, and you're developing these tools. Can you give us, are these physical tools? You talked about in some ways financial tools, and obviously they're not physical tools, but are there some mental tools that you're using and sharing with your clients?
So there's six stages of the strategy compass model. You know, I love to sail, I love the sea. So there's a nautical sort of influence in the book and in my work. And the strategy compass, now the parts of the six steps here are nothing sort of new, but what they are doing is brought six steps together that are not normally brought together, but I found these to work incredibly well in growing and scaling businesses. So for example, you'll get a book on strategy and you'll get a book on mindset, but rarely do you get a book on strategy and mindset, you know, in the same sort of guide. So step one is about purpose. You've got to get clear about your North Star and where your business is heading. Even so, even all the more important right now during COVID times. And of course, this concept was popularized by Sam Sinek's great work with Start With Why. Step two is mindset. And if you're going to change the trajectory of the growth of your business, then you need to shift your thinking. And I break that down into five mindset tools that I take businesses through within that section. And we can dive a little deeper in a minute if we need to. And then step three is outcome. And that's, hey, where are you going? What's your target? When I did a two-year speaking tour for HSBC, we did 84 events across the UK over 2 years, and they'd put anywhere between 30 people and 275 people in a room. And every single group I asked, you know, put your hands up, who has written down goals for your business for the next 1, 2, 3 years? And it really shocked me, to be honest, that less than 20% in any of those 84 events, less than 20% of the audience put their hand up. So that's outcome is really, really important. Get clear about where you're heading. Step, once you know where, most people obviously ask the question, how? That's strategy. So step four is all about strategy. And I help you look at your business through the lens of some strategic planning models to help give you some distinctions around how you can stand out in a, you know, a busy marketplace and have a differentiated position in the marketplace. Once you know the how, you're going to need to be able to build the capability of your business. So step five is capability. And then I look at handy mnemonic of scale. I look at systems and cash and advance for innovation, L's for leadership and culture, and E's for effectiveness, personal and team effectiveness. And then step six is action and accountability. So I found that if you give a business and a team real clarity of purpose, the good that they're up to in the world, you build their belief and you do a number of mindset tools, which we'll come back to. You get them clear on where they're heading, their outcomes. You give them a clear strategy on how they're going to get there. You help them build the capacity and the capability of their business so that it can deal with greater volume of transactions and greater sales. And then you encourage them to take action and you put accountability sort of systems or mechanisms in your business. Then you can really shift performance.
Got it. Okay, so you've mentioned the concept of mindset tools twice now, and I would love for you to explain a little bit more about what you're thinking with that as well, because give us a little more information, please.
Yes, so of course. So I believe there's mindset is that there's a difference between game over or game on. And particularly at the moment where a lot of people are being intimidated or living in a state of fear, influenced by the media and influenced by their social media sort of feeds. So I look at a model called Strive, the steps being S for state. And I know you'll really appreciate this, Rob, but, you know, the state of mind that this comes directly from, you know, NLP, the first thing that Richard Bandler, you know, taught me was, you know, state first. You know, if you're in a productive, confident, upbeat frame of mind, emotional state, then you can achieve a lot more than if you're in a dismissive, negative, you know, beaten state of mind. And specifically at the moment, I think there's a number of people in business, and I've seen it myself, who are in a state of uncertainty and almost paralyzed by the level and scale of uncertainty in business. Well, they're not taking decisions. They're not trying new things out. They're not failing forward or innovating in their offering to the marketplace. So I need to get them to a state of, we've got this, with a state of certainty, with a plan and a pathway of doing that, and an encouragement that they will be able to adapt. So within mindset, the S of strive is state. The T, to get it to fit into the word strive, is self-talk. And, you know, whether if we're saying to ourselves, you know, why me? Why is this happening to me right now? If you're becoming the victim, you know, let's turn it around and let's be the victor of our own comeback story. So the language that we have, the things that we're saying to ourselves and others, is critical. I is identity. And, you know, identity, if it, Robert Dilts's neurological levels is what kind of informs this for me. And is, if you can, a business will often top out, it will often plateau at the vision of who the business owner thinks that they are and that business should be or could be. So, for example, if you think you're a local player in your local area or your local city, but you want to go statewide or you want to go international, then if you don't see yourself as a global small business or a global player, you're never going to get there. And so if you at the moment are seeing yourself as the victor of the comeback story or the victim, you know, that identity will have a massive shift in your performance and the actions that you take. So the V is visualization. I'm a massive, massive fan of the importance of, and I had it working so well with my own life and experience, but also with the life of my clients, is to get them to really clearly visualize and see the results and feel the results of them having achieved their goals. And then E is empowering beliefs. You know, as Henry Ford said, of course, whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, you're absolutely right. Now, for those of us that have studied the field of personal development, of mindset, and have been exposed to tool sets like NLP, none of those elements will be new. But in my experience, when I've gone into businesses that with revenues between $1 and $5 million or £1 and £5 million, they are new. And they may have heard some reference to visualization in a sporting context, but they won't necessarily, they haven't, in my experience, been applying these tools on a daily basis for success in their business.
Okay, you keep talking about NLP, which I know what it is, but just for anyone in our audience who's not familiar with NLP, what does that stand for and what is it?
Yeah, sure. So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. It was founded by two guys called Richard Bandler and John Grinder in the 70s. And, you know, one of Bandler's definitions of it is an attitude of curiosity that leaves behind it a trail of techniques. It's about how we create the world inside of our heads, with how we see things, how we hear things, how we feel things, and how we can almost like reprogram that, optimize that to either turn down or reduce any fear and increase confidence, for example. So the tools and the toolkit that comes with NLP helps you to improve personal performance. It helps you to reduce anxiety, increases your effectiveness in persuasion and influence. And if you've got two groups of people, two equally well experienced people, but one is in a positive emotional state, it believes in themselves, has confidence, and the other doesn't. In every circumstance, those that believe in themselves, have a strong positive state and a high degree of confidence, will outperform those that don't. So what NLP does is it shows us how to kind of like turn the dials in our own mind, tune ourselves up in such a way as that we can be the best version that we possibly can.
Okay, thank you for explaining that. I appreciate it. And what you're talking about is changing our mindset, even changing the self-talk, which is, I think, the T in your model. Are there a couple things that you can give to business owners, entrepreneurs, folks that are out there, that like a couple mindset tools that they can take and immediately start to work on?
Yeah, so one that I love, and I'll give you a couple of reference to it, could actually be called either Lofty Questions, and actually Vishen Lakhiani in his latest book, Buddha and the Badass, refers to them as Lofty Questions. But also there's a book by Noah St. John called Affirmations, not Affirmations, Affirmations. And they both follow the same idea, the same concept. And that is, let's say I want to become more productive. I want to get more done in a day. What a lot of people could well ask themselves, or their self-talk may well be, oh, why does it always take me so long to get X, Y, and Z done? Well, you flip that on the head and you say, you structure it, why is it so easy for me to get so much done in so little time? You know, why am I so good? Well, as soon as I sit down at my workstation or at my desk, I'm always able to get so much done in so little time. So you take your goal, and let's say your goal is to increase your revenues, and let's say you want to increase your revenues by 30% a month. You know, some people might say, oh gosh, how on earth can I increase revenues by 30% a month? Well, actually, how am I going to increase profits by 20% a month? You could say, by using this approach, you would say, why is it so easy for me to increase revenues by 30% a month? Why is it so easy for me to increase profits by 20% a month? And here's the thing. If you ask yourself in that question enough, you know, your brain's like Google, you know, it goes in search of the answer, particularly when it is presented. Well, it goes in the search of the answer of any question you consistently present it. So present it a really good question, such as why is it so easy for me to get so much done in so little time? And your brain goes away in search of that answer. But also presupposed within that question is that it's possible to get so much done or to grow your profits by 20% in the next month, and also that it's easy to do that. So I find that as part of my kind of like daily ritual, you know, I visualize my goals, but then I've got certain key questions like the productivity one, a revenue goal, and I've also got one like, for example, why is it so easy for me to always be in the right place with the right people at the right time to do the right deals?
It's so interesting because what you're saying is kind of, you're asking the question in a positive way, and then your brain is figuring out what are the things that are helping you to do what you want to do. Because so many times we get focused on what is not going right, and that's where we put all of our energy and said, this is the obstacle, this is the problem, this is, and sometimes we get that defeated attitude, well, I have no idea why I'm not any more productive than I am. But when you're saying, why am I productive? Why am I accomplishing? Then you're actually looking at the tools and you're coming up with the concepts that are helping you to be productive, helping you to be successful. And as you look at them, then that's where your focus becomes and you're strengthening those tools, which are increasing your productivity. Am I correctly understanding what you're stating?
Absolutely right. If you say to a team of people in an organized, let's say you've got a senior team or you've got you and your sort of key colleagues in your business and you set up this target. Okay, irrespective of what's going on around us, let's say I set a target that we are in the second half of 2020 or what's remaining of 2020, we're going to have 50% extra sales than we did this time last year. And you were to then follow that up with, how can we do that? Many people in many companies would say, you can't, you know, that's just not possible given the current environment. However, if you then ask the question, why is it so easy for us to increase our sales 50% over, you know, the same period last year, you start exploring that assumption that it is possible and it is easy. And so you can like do a sort of a detour around that mental block that can be thrown up by our heads or our self-talk initially, which says it's not possible. And as soon as you say it's not possible, you're taking yourself out of the game.
It makes so much sense because so many times we spend our time, as I mentioned and as you said, focused on obstacles, focused on what we can't do. And especially in this environment right now, what we're looking at is the reason why we can't do 50% more. It starts with COVID, right? And yet what we need to kind of work on and what we need to figure out is what are the abilities that we have and how does COVID in some ways allow us and in some ways force us to do things differently. And in doing things differently, it doesn't mean that it's going to be less successful. It actually gives us an opportunity for growth and an opportunity for more success because we're having to look at things from a different perspective.
Absolutely. Any uncertainty in any market price creates opportunity. And those businesses, I see sort of three populations of business owners right now. There's population one that are in hibernation. The head is in the sand, and they think if they pull their head out of the sand in September, the world will be as it was. It won't, of course.
Right.
Population two actually does appreciate the challenges that we're facing, but see so much uncertainty. You know, are we going to have further waves, further lockdowns? What kind of government stimulus packages are going to be available in the autumn? What, you know, are they going to be repeated? We don't expect them to be in the UK, for example. What's that going to mean to survival, to cash flow? And because there are so many unknowns, they're almost paralyzed in their thinking about what to do next. And they're not doing a great deal. And then the third population, they're saying, wow, there's opportunity here. What do we need to do to sort of fail forward, to try out and test without offering new products to the marketplace? How can we right-size our cost base right now? How can we save costs? How can we improve our margin? And it's those companies that are looking at what products are selling, what products are not, which products are running with the right profit margin and which aren't, cutting product lines, keeping with the most profitable ones, reducing costs, and creating a much more adaptable and flexible business. You know, a great example here in the UK, but it's one that will be understood around the world, is that the two major airlines in the UK, British Airways and Virgin Atlantic, have both now retired their iconic Boeing 747s, so they'll no longer fly those planes. Arguably, that should have been done some time ago, that there are cheaper, more fuel-efficient twin-engine planes, but because it was such an iconic plane, the 747 was kept in the skies. So now people are absolutely looking at their cost bases and structuring their business accordingly.
It is a great example. It's something that you understand that when you're going through those tough times, when you're going through trying times like this, it is at that point that you are really, really focused and really forced to look at what is your business model? What is your efficiency? Where can you make some trim? And then the other piece that you mentioned I love is that idea of failing forward, because right now with all of the obstacles that are out there, it's a time to try something new. And when you're trying something new, you're not going to be any worse off than you were when you started, right? Because things are bad. And yet at the same time, when you're trying something different and something new, it's giving you an opportunity to grow. Talk to me then. You had mentioned this a little bit, and that is you have some personal rituals that you're working on to help you with your own mindset. Can you tell me a little bit more? I know that you mentioned a couple of those.
Yeah, sure. So every morning I'll start off in terms of exercise. So fortunately, before lockdown, we happened to have invested in a Peloton bike, which we absolutely love. So, you know, every morning, that's me 5 or 6 days a week, I'm on the Peloton bike. So that really sort of kickstarts my system, oxygenates my system. And then I use Tony Robbins' priming exercise, which is, you know, free for you to go through on YouTube. And so I'll go through and pay attention to the things that I'm grateful for and to visualize three major goals that I'm currently working on. And then I follow that up with reading what I call my identity statement. So this is a written statement of the future me. And, you know, it's work in progress and I'm moving towards it. But I've stated who I am in terms of what I'm doing in business, what I'm doing for my clients, what I'm doing as a spouse and a father, and my health, for example. So those areas of my life. And then there's some stated goals there for 2020. And then I have a series of those lofty questions that I read through as well after that. So it's a combination of exercise, visualizing my goals, reading the identity statement, and then reading those lofty questions to really focus my mind about the things that I'm focusing on.
I just wondering, are those some of those lofty questions included in the book?
Yes, I do give examples, actually. I don't actually in the book I refer to it as afformations, and then I since I'd actually sort of finalized the copy, Vishnakiani's book Buddha and the Badass came out, and he made reference to it and called them lofty questions, and I must admit I prefer that title to that technique than affirmations, because I think some people got a bit of a bad, you know, I think affirmations got a bit of a bad reputation, because people think, oh, if I just sat at home on my sofa and said, you know, I am rich, that you'll get rich, or I've got a Ferrari and you'll get a Ferrari. It doesn't work like that. So I think that's why I personally now prefer this title, Lofty Questions, but it's just a different title for the same technique.
Got it. It makes perfect sense. You know, I've written a couple books myself, and I have that understanding that there are sometimes when it goes into print, and after it goes into print, you think, oh, you know, but as you've said, the concept is there. It's just a matter of the words that are used to describe it.
Yeah, so in the book I call it Afformations, and it's built off the work of Noah St. John's book of the same name.
Wonderful. Gavin, listen, if people are looking to get a hold of you, where can they find you on the internet? What's the easiest way?
A couple of places. So first of all, you can try out my podcast, which is the Business Mastermind Podcast. Also, if they want to find out more about the book, Survive and Thrive, How to Secure, Scale and Succeed in Business, then go to www.surviveandthrive.cc. That's surviveandthrive.cc.
Wonderful. And for you personally, your website is?
GavinPreston.com.
Makes it super easy, right? Wonderful. And I guess you have a special offer for my listeners today. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I'm so passionate about the tools in the book, and particularly because right now there are plenty of people in survival who would love to just get through this, never mind go on and thrive. So I've tested these tools toe-to-toe with people out in the world of business and people in survival situations and people that wanting to get their business to thrive. And so what I'd like to do is offer you, I'll pay the cost of the book, I'd like to offer you a free copy of the book. You just cover the shipping and the handling, and then I'll get that book winging its way over to you, because I want to get the message out there, because I know how much sweat, blood and tears business owners put into their businesses and how much stress it can cause when cash flows are really tight. And, you know, just as the martial artist looks to aim beyond the target rather than just the target, I want you to aim beyond survival towards thriving.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for doing that. I appreciate that, and would encourage everyone to take advantage of your offer. Listen, you have obviously shown that you are smart. I have learned from you, but now it's the people part, and we're going to do three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
Sure. Looking forward to it.
All right. So you mentioned that your dad gave you a book when you were 15. Are there any other quotes or any other things that your dad did that kind of stick with you even to this day?
It taught me visualization at a very young age. He used to work for as a commission-only salesman for the UK arm of a US chemical sales company. And they ran a Christmas competition every year, and he wanted to get the second prize, which was a Mercedes estate car. And he taught me about this concept of visualization and how he worked really hard and went out and did loads of selling. But that how he had visualized it every day for the 6 months leading up to him securing the car. And I remember saying to him as the car arrived outside our house, and I said, wow, Dad, you know, seeing as in the flesh, seeing is believing. And my dad just turned to me and pointed, tapped the side of his head and said, no, Gavin, you see here first, believe it, and then it'll happen in reality. So that really was a fantastic lesson for me at a relatively young age.
I love it. If I come to visit you, what is the one thing in your local area that you're taking me to see?
Oh, the sea. The coastline. The coastline is stunning. It's beautiful. I love the sea and the beaches and getting out on the water, or even just sitting on the beach and looking out to sea. So I'll be sharing the North Wales coastline, because it has actually a beautiful mixture of the Snowdonian National Park, the beautiful mountains, but also the gorgeous sea and nice beaches as well.
Although I'm wondering, in North Wales, I'm assuming you're not doing a whole lot of swimming. The water's chilly, would I imagine?
It's okay. You just have to take a deep breath at the moment. You just have to take a deep breath and maybe put a wetsuit on. But yes, it can be a little bit cooler than you might be used to.
Fantastic. Last question is kind of a out-of-the-box question, and that is, if you're coming over to the States, is there something that you would look to eat when you come over to the States that you've heard about and you thought, I just can't get something like this in the UK?
Oh, I experienced it in New York. Was a massive porterhouse steak that I properly loved. I do like a good steak, so I'd be coming back and getting one of those for sure.
Fantastic. Hey, Gavin, thanks so much for being on the show. I'm going to put all of your contact information down in the show notes and would encourage folks to get in touch with you and learn more about what you're doing. Listen, everybody, I appreciate you tuning in today. I will remind you, as always, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.
Cheers, Rob.